Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I sit in the woods, keep coming. They won't go away, LA, you keep coming. Words in my head, they turn into songs. Tearing my soul one by one.
Now it's time for the Brain Injury Radio with your host, Craig Cecilia.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to another edition of Ability Radio and Brain Injury Radio. This is episode 3,975. Can you believe it? We're 25 episodes away from 4,000 episodes. That's a lot of episodes, man. Good thing I have brain injury because I don't remember most of them. But that's not true. I remember most of them. But anyway, so before we get going here, tonight we got a great guest going to be coming on here in a few minutes, Justin Maxwell. He's going to share his story, and it's a story that is that you hear too many times. And the thing is, you don't hear it if you don't know. It's a hidden epidemic because our government and states are still institutionalizing people with disabilities because they're different, because they're not like most people. You know, as you all know, I'm not like anybody, and I like that, and I'm never going to be like anybody. Why? I don't know, but it's ridiculous that we, in this day and age, we think we're so socially advanced that we're institutionalizing people who've never committed a crime because they're different, and we've been doing this for thousands of years, and it's not fair, and it's not fair one bit, and so and there's all kinds of institutions. There's RHCs and ICFs for people with developmental disabilities. There's brain injury rehab centers for people with brain injuries. There's state hospitals for people who are experiencing mental illness. And there's nursing homes for people who are elderly. And so there's hundreds of thousands of people in different types of institutions. And, you know, and we talk about how we want people to have an inclusive society. I'm telling you what, you cannot achieve inclusion from within an institution. It just don't happen. It isn't possible. But yet we continue to do it. You know, is it better than our history used to be, where like the Greeks and the Romans would abandon babies out in the forest? You know, what do you think is going to happen to those babies if they don't get itten? Don't you like my English? Itten. If they don't get ate, they get they die of starvation, and this was what people considered the right thing to do. Even, you know, philosophers, you know, I'm not going to get into that. That's another class, but there are people who believe that people who are different are better off dead. And I hate to tell you, well, no, I'm here to tell you, and I don't hate to tell you, I'm glad to tell you that people who are different have been the genius of society. But nevertheless, we want to put people in institutions because of a whole bunch of reasons. You know, we're not going to get into reasons. And I'm not dissing anyone who put a child in an institution because chances are you were convinced by doctors that this is how they're going to have any kind of life. It's just not true. It's absolutely not true. Before I get into my news tonight, I got to share a little story. You guys ever been to Vegas? You know, you see those blue-haired women, you know, and when they win a lottery, or not a lottery, when they win the jackpots, you know, ding, 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 ding. Oh, they're all excited. They're all excited. Well, my dog shares a similar experiences in my house. Every time the microwave dings, she thinks she's won the lottery. You should see her, man. She's in the hog heaven. She's just so happy. Oh, the microwave, I won, Dad. I won, Dad. And there she is, right by the microwave. You know, she thinks the microwave belongs to her. Does it belong to her? Maybe. Maybe not. I can't confirm or deny those accusations. I am looking. I made a fancy new audio clip tonight, and you know, funny thing is, guess what? I can't find it. But that's okay. I'm going to look one more time. I don't know why I can't find it. Oh, probably. Aha. I think I'm going to find it. I think I am going to find it. You know, I am just the worst host. You know, I take a little bit of time off and I can't figure out anything anymore. You ever feel like that? You walk away and then all of a sudden you can't feel anything. But again, I'm looking at our archives and our file clips. It is absolutely insane. Ah, I forgot what I was looking for. It helps when you remember what you were looking for. Did you know that? Yes, indeed it does. Yes, indeed it does. Here we go. And now, time for the news that no one else wants to tell you about. Ask yourself, is there a reason why? I don't know. Here we go. A new fad. Couples road trip. Yes. Don't that sound fun? Fun, fun. 500-mile North Scotland through England coastal line. And here's the catch. The new fad incorporates converted hearses, and they call this the Grim Sleeper. Book your vacation now, 1-800-GRIM. Yes, indeed. All right. So, some other news. News that you didn't hear anywhere else. So, the other day, freaky three-eyed dinosaur shrimp emerged from the Arizona desert. Yes, freaky three-eyed dinosaur creatures. Visitors at Arizona's Wipitoka National Monument were in for a spooky surprise this week when a torrential rain summoned hundreds of creepy three-eyed creatures from the great beyond. Oh, my goodness. Oh, new study shows that hot dogs shortens lives. Yes, hot dogs shortens your life. This week, researchers revealed that each hot dog a person eats could take as much as 36 minutes off of their life. Needless to say, chestnuts really racking up the hours. Anyway, chestnuts, the world Guinness Book World Record hot dog eater. All right, here's news you didn't hear. So, coincidence? I think not. Three Alaskan volcanoes simultaneously erupt. You know, that shouldn't be any news. You know, Alaska's home to 130 volcanoes. So a single eruption in Alaska is nothing to write home about. Matter of fact, they sleep through them damn things. However, when three of these things decide to put on a show at the exact same time, they're worth looking at. So I'll continue to update you on that. Hey, anyone here a Netflix fan? I just finished watching The Squid Games. Ha, guess what? A real-life Squid Game is happening now to Dubai. It seemed a matter of time before Netflix sensation Squid Games became an organized real-life event, a version of it at least. This is without the murder and bloodshed, but the maiming and dismemberment of several of the contestants, the survival game involving deadly children's games. Fun, fun, fun. Anyone want to sign up for that? Well, here's the real news, guys. We've had a high week of UFO sightings. Weird UFOs over Pebble, Colorado on the 8th of this month. These strange lights in the sky filmed over Pueblo, Colorado on the 8th. What to do if you think they are something strange? Crafts or what? Yeah. Well, you got to look at it. If you can go to newsightings.net, and you can see some of these things. Must-see triangle UFO filmed over Utrecht, the Netherlands. I can't say that. Utrecht, Netherlands, on the 7th. The increasing UFO video is of a reality fast, triangular-shaped object was filmed that night. But remember the picture I showed you guys not too long ago? I had that, what I thought was a UFO, and those things were going into it. Well, things were coming out of it. It was pooping them. So, TikTok UFOs over Fairdale, Kentucky on the 7th. Two bright tic-tac UFOs. I wonder if they're playing tic-tac-toe, or I don't know why they call them tic-tacs. Filmed over daytime sky. Fairdale, a neighborhood in Lewis, that happened yesterday. Well, this was the 7th, so a couple of days ago. UF lights in formation above Austin County. Strange formation of lights were flying in the sky, were filmed from three different angles by 60 different residents from the Austin, Texas area. And then they went into outer space. Flashing UFOs over Columbia, Missouri. Columbia, Missouri. New footage of a flashing, unidentified flying object in the skies above Columbia, Missouri. on the 5th of October, witnesses report glowing lights before they disappeared into space. UFO sighting in Falcom Lake, Manitoba, Canada. Ah, that's 1967. That's old news. UFO flying over Denver, Colorado yesterday. Three UFOs at La Crosse, New Mexico. So, yeah, so right now we are having an abundance of UFO attacks. Can you imagine that? So, do you believe in UFOs? Do you believe that we're alone in this universe? Do you believe? If you believe in anything, it's possible. You know that, right? So, tonight, my guest, and we're going to do a little preview here, is Justin Maxwell. He's part of the Washington State Shut 'Em Down Coalition and a self-advocate and a heck of a nice guy, too. Hey, Justin.
Hello, this is Justin Maxwell, and I'm 31 years old, and it is my belief that institutions should be closed, and there should be no person of any difference that should be locked up or tortured or anything in the any such institutional setting. We as people with disabilities on a difference have the right to freedom, inclusion, and everything besides right enough.
So, Justin, let me play the devil's advocate here. You know, I'm absolutely, I believe that all institutions should be closed, but they are saying, you know, the institutional people, you know, them, they are saying that people get better care in there and healthy, live healthier and happier. What do you think of those accusations from institutional people?
That is excuse by excuse. They are not happy. They wouldn't be in there. They're forced to be in there because either the parents put them in there, because the doctor said you should put them in institutions, or the people at the wrong belief system that those with that disease can't do anything. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, that is a lie. We, the people with that disease, do not need to be in institutions, and we can do what any other non-disabled person can do.
Absolutely, and I couldn't agree with you more. So they say that the only way that people with disabilities can have true inclusion is through an institution. Is that even possible, do you think?
Say it again.
So I was reading an article, you know, I always, you know, because I'm working, I'm the editor for Shut 'Em Down magazine, which will be going out 9 issues to legislators. And so some of the things that I've read is that institutions are the only safe place for people with a disability.
No, they're not.
Yep.
You know,
yes, so let's start with some. So have you? You've lived in an institution, right, Justin?
No, I have not lived, but I have friends and fellow self-advocates who have lived and been in an institution. But I myself, due to something that I did a long time ago, ended up in one.
They put me
in the area where everybody in there was a drug addict, recovering drug addicts. And
so what did it feel like when you were in there?
It was not fun. I couldn't do a lot of things. I couldn't point. It was just barking up and down the hall, and the beds were not very comfortable. And they messed my medicine up, and they wouldn't let me out, and they lied to my parents, saying that I wasn't taking classes, I this or that, and they drowned my bed in the middle of the night. Which they should have done in the daytime.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I want to get your feedback. I got a little clip here, and it's called The Big Disgrace, short clip. And so I'm going to play a clip, folks. And this is what life inside of an institution sounds like. And here's a description.
Well, I visited the State Institution for the Mentally Retarded, and I think particularly at Willowbrook that we have a situation that borders on a snake pit. And that the children live in filth, but many of our fellow citizens are suffering tremendously because lack of attention, lack of imagination, lack of adequate manpower. There's very little future for the children or for those who are in these institutions. Both need a tremendous overhauling. I'm not saying that those who are the attendants there or the ones that run the institution are at fault. I think all of us are at fault. And I think it's just... long overdue that something be done about it.
It's been more than 6 years since Robert Kennedy walked out of one of the wards here at Willowbrook and told newsmen of the horror he'd seen inside. He pleaded then for an overhaul of the system that allowed retarded children to live in a snake pit. But that was way back in 1965, and somehow we'd all forgotten. I first heard of this big place with the pretty-sounding name because of a call I received from a member of the Willowbrook staff, a Dr. Michael Wilkins. The doctor told me he'd just been fired because he'd been urging parents with children in one of the buildings, building number 6, to organize so they could more effectively demand improved conditions for their children. The doctor invited me to see the conditions he was talking about, so unannounced and unexpected by the school administration, we toured building number 6. The doctor had warned me that it would be bad. It was horrible. There was one attendant for perhaps 50 severely and profoundly retarded children, and the children, lying on the floor naked and smeared with their own feces, they were making a pitiful sound, a kind of mournful wail that it's impossible for me to forget. This is what it looked like, this is what it sounded like, but how can I tell you about the way it smelled? It smelled of filth, it smelled of disease, and it smelled of death. We've just seen something that's probably the most horrible thing I've ever seen in my life. Is that typical of ward life?
Yes, there are 5,300 patients at Willowbrook, which is the largest institution for the mentally retarded in the world. The ones that we saw were the most severely and profoundly retarded. There are thousands there like that, not going to school, sitting on the ward all day, not being talked to by anyone.
So does that sound
That's
like what an institution
insane.
Really is?
Yes.
Does that kind of sound feel like where you were, kind of the treatment you got to?
A little bit, but I was in a mental institution. Screamed in the middle of the night, and I didn't like what I was hearing. But that's probably unsettling, the video that you just played. Right. And I didn't know what the way that they were calling them Delmark. You know. Anyways.
So did you think
I
you might die in there while you were there? You thought, I'm going to die here?
Okay.
So when you were there, did you feel like, you know, I'm going to die here? I'm never going to, I'm just going to die in this place.
Maybe. Yes.
Yeah. And I don't share
like
this. A lot, but when I had my brain injury, and this is going back a little bit, but I went to the hospital, right? And I wanted to get help because something was wrong. They were pumping meds down me. I was feeling like I was losing my mind. And then they forced me to stand there for a 72-hour period. And they drugged me up, and they kept me drugged up for 3 days straight. And I didn't know if I was coming or going. And I never went looking for help again because they scared the living pazzies out of me.
That is horrible.
And everyone I've talked to that... Oh, go ahead, Justin. Go ahead. You could continue.
Momentary.
No, go ahead and continue with what you were saying. Yeah, I was going to say, everyone I've ever talked to, they all say that, you know, they were drugged up. There was really no help, and they just, like, didn't do anything. Drugged them up and kept them in a room.
I wish that back to where I... But anyway, yeah, you're right, and I think this is why I don't like institutions at all for anybody. That's just me. No, it's not acceptable, man. When I see an institution, it just makes me want to turn away or march away. When I look at it, I know that some things have gone on in badly. Like the way that they treat the patients, the way they hurt them, and all that stuff that is in the horrible. I mean, you know, they say that they're trying to keep them safe, but from what I'm hearing, that's not true.
No, and then here's an interesting fact. The Centers for Disease Control, 53% of the COVID deaths were by different people in different types of institutions, from long-term nursing care, state facilities, mental institutions. You know, people think that when institutions are prisons, but that's not necessarily the case, folks, because a lot of times institutions are prisons, but they're prisons for people who've never committed a crime. They're prisons for... folks that they can't understand or they want to study. In 2021, over in a pretty place in Iowa called Oak Haven, the past director is being prosecuted for experimenting on over 80 people with developmental disabilities, you know, killing something like 17 of them during that time. And his excuse was he was trying to make institutions relevant again. You know, that guy better fry. So there's a whole bunch of models out there, but we've demised to the medical model, which says, you know, people with disabilities are either it's a gift from God or you're being punished from God. No, we're not. We're not being punished. It's we are a gift from God because we are beautiful people, but we are not being punished. The other thing is a medical model that we need to be fixed or we're broken and something's wrong and we got to be repaired. There's nothing wrong with us. What if we fixed Einstein? What if we fixed Franklin? What if we fixed the Wright brothers? What if we, Mozart, right? Some of the greatest symphonies. He was deaf.
All of those men had autism and they've done great things with in this story, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. The smartest man known to man up to date had a significant disability. And so, you know, if you judge us before you get to know us, before you teach us, it's your loss. You know, who knows what you're going to lose. So we got somebody that wants to talk. So let's bring them on. They have a question. Their hands came on up and down a couple times. So 337, what say you? You have a question for Justin?
Yeah. One time.
So area code 337-396.
Oh, you want me to type that in?
No, this was a call. There you go. Hello. How are you today?
Oh, I'm good. I was just calling in to listen.
Okay.
I'm Brandy and
back.
I live in Louisiana.
Okay, hi, Brandy. Well, welcome to the show. So,
thank you.
And if you want to talk again, I'm going to put you back on hold to listen to the show. But if you want to talk, just press number 1 on your pad, and a little hand comes out of my screen and slaps me and lets me know somebody wants to talk. Yeah,
okay,
you got a new
you.
Virtual age. All right. So I got to put you back on hold, and we'll continue with Justin here a little bit. All right, Justin. So
hello.
Let's see. So when you were in the facility, were you allowed to talk to your family while you were in there?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay.
Yeah, they visit once or twice.
Okay, and what'd they think of you being in there?
Huh?
What did they think? Did they think that was a good place, or were they scared for you too?
Well, they were scared. They were realizing that I didn't need to be there in there at all. Well, I was in there for a reason. Like,
okay.
You know, I didn't know what I'm saying. Sorry.
That's okay. So I want to play a little clip here. This guy's name is Gregory Hall. He was from put into Rainier School at age 12, and he just got out, and I think he's 67 now. But here's a little clip about his story. So share this with our audience.
For more than half a century, Gregory Paul lived at Washington's Rainier School for the Developmentally Disabled. Then came word last spring he'd have to move. His sister says that sudden shock has now given way to what feels like a miracle. Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins has the story. Marianne Brookhart still remembers the day her parents took her 12-year-old brother Gregory to live at the Rainier School.
And they took him out of the car, and sometime later they came back without him, and not a word was said, ever.
That was in 1964, 55 years ago. In those days, her brother's diagnosis was severe mental retardation, a term that's not used anymore. The Rainier School became his home. Over the years, Brookhart came to feel like her brother belonged there.
I finally got to that place where it was the only place for him.
A few years ago, Brookhart became her brother's guardian. And then last March, a letter arrived in the mail. The feds had decertified the unit her brother lived in. The state was closing it, and he'd have to move.
And it was absolutely so frightening.
Since then, the state has been working to find new homes for Gregory and 86 other clients. Today, 18 remain. The deadline for everyone to be out is September 30th. About half have gone to state-run nursing facilities. The rest have been placed in staffed homes in the community. And that's where this story takes a turn.
You're going to love this.
It turns out Gregory was placed with his best friend and two other clients in a home on a golf course near Olympia. He has his own room, and he can explore the neighborhood in his wheelchair.
And the neighbors are all excited. And 60 years ago, neighbors didn't want anything to do with my brother.
Brookhart calls it a miracle. Her brother, who went to a state institution at age 12, will celebrate his 67th birthday next week for the first time in his own home in the community. I'm Austin Jenkins in Olympia.
So that's just one case of, you know, so he spent 55 years somewhere he didn't need to be. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine. That's horrible.
Yeah, we just don't treat people well. You know, we want to think we do, but we don't. Just last year at one of our state institutions, a state worker tied, you know, strapped a person into his wheelchair, went up to the cabin. They were at a lake. And guess what happened?
I don't even know. He died?
He found him at the bottom of the lake. They got him out. They were able to resuscitate him. I mean, he's had some issues. But, you know, what chance do you have? And wheelchairs are kind of heavy, folks, if you don't know. They can be anywhere from 50, 60 pounds up to a couple hundred pounds, some maybe even more of those electric ones. If you're tied to that thing, that's like an anchor. You know, that's crueler than Al Capone did with the concrete shoes. I mean, it's not right.
No, not at all. That's why
and it's not common.
Them.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those of you, so if you want to hashtag shut them down, We started a coalition. We've been working on it's been quite a while now, but we're getting ready to go at it. We're going to start closing the institutions. They've gone on for too long. People get isolated. People get forgotten. But most importantly, people get neglected and abused in these places, sexually assaulted, beat up, and they will point you at the wall and tie you to a chair. They give adults timeouts.
Not as kids.
Yeah, and so
business at all, but done. Enough is enough. Damn.
It is. Absolutely. I mean, we've done this since the 1800s in our country. And treatment's been far worse than that. This is mild compared to what they did hundreds and hundreds of years ago, where people would kill them, take them to the top of mountains, sacrifice them. The Spartans. Here's a true story, folks. Before we take our break, the Spartans. And his name eludes me right now, but it was about 27 BC, and the Spartans were a fierce fighting force. And so, Greek. If you in the Greek culture, if you had a kid born with a disability, they killed them right then and there. Well, the king of the Spartans refused to do that, and of course, Greece wanted to show its muscle, but they were forgetting who they're messing with. They were messing with the fiercest fighters, and Sparta. That was the beginning of the end of Greece, because you know what? Once you know someone with a disability, and then think that we're going to imprison them, torture them, abuse them, neglect them, isolate them, it's not right. It's so not right.
No.
And so we are going to take a little break, Justin. I'm going to play a song, and this is we're 25% through, and I am going to try. I got a fan on here. I am going to try to play a song that maybe she hasn't heard, but it's pretty tough when your number one fan knows all your songs. Let me see, and I won't mention any names, but she's from Omaha, and they're going to get snow Wednesday, a lot of snow. I'm forecasting snow, and that's the Craig's Almanac. She's probably telling me, F you, Craig, right now, because she loves the snow so much. But, where did I put it? Oh, my goodness. Let's see what comes first. I'm going to play a favorite song of hers. This is off of my new album, and my band is The R Insane, and that's T-H-E-E, letter R, Insane. And yes, I am, folks. And this is a song about, and I was requested to play this, and this is a song about, when I had my disability, I did want to be dead, because there was no help. And the help I got, they were going to drug me up, and this is kind of how I felt. And so this is a song, and I call it Ghost. So welcome back, folks. We are here with Justin Maxwell tonight. And Justin, when you were there, how were you treated by the staff? Let's talk about that a little bit. How did the staff treat you?
Well, we didn't mind, and they kind of worried sometimes, like, well, you know, whatever's up, and I don't talk to you or for your friend or any of that stuff.
Okay, so you didn't get to see any of your friends. Your friends really couldn't come see you, could they?
Well, they did. I'm talking about the staff. The staff were friendly. They needed to be.
Right, so, and they're people, so they were good ones and bad ones, I'm guessing what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, did you have any freedom of choice while you were there? Or was all your choices made for you?
I had some jeans and some things I could do and some things I couldn't do.
So are you a coffee drinker, Justin? Do you drink coffee in the mornings? Yeah, I know that during my 72 hours and in my, you know, not that it's a huge thing, they wouldn't let me have coffee. And then when you're an addictive coffee drinker like I am, that's like life-threatening. I mean, I remember as I was going through coffee withdrawals, and that was, I thought that was just like so unnecessary. You know, it's like, you know, but it was what it was. And again, I never went back and looked for help again because of my experience, and I certainly needed some. So did you have any privacy there?
No. They had the blinds cut out. They had no door. And the shower, you had to take the shower with it open.
Yeah. Yeah, that's dehumanizing. So what is the worst thing you can remember?
Huh?
What's the worst thing that you remember about the experience?
The fact that there was a little bit of drama and it wasn't good to be there.
Yeah, you know what you have to do? What I did to get out, because they would have kept me a lot longer, and I got everybody involved in a risk game, and I was going to take over the floor. That's what I threatened them, and the next day I got out of there. Because I think they believed me.
Oh,
guys, I got into
So
were there any good...
to take me out.
Yeah. Yeah, so... did they? Yeah, it's ridiculous. So were you ever afraid while you were there?
Yeah. A little.
Okay. So what finally got you out? Did they just finally let you loose? And did were there any follow-ups that they required or anything like that?
They were going to keep me annoying a bit. My parents were told to get me out, and they decided, oh, well, you know, nobody's having them. So they let me out.
Yeah, so they threatened to sue, I bet. They're afraid of the lawsuit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is, it's whatever it takes to get out of these places. So when you left, did they help you leave? Did they walk you out, make it comfortable for you to leave, or was like that? That's the end of it. They just started ignoring you from that point on. Once they decided.
Well, I remember before I left, they said, "Don't you come back here."
Oh, that's scary.
I said, "Whatever." I kind of said in my mind, okay, I don't plan on going back to Fairfax or anywhere else. It's an institution because I don't like them.
Right. So can you remember walking out the front doors, leaving the building?
Yep.
Yeah, I was in rehab because of my brain injury for almost a year, and I remember leaving. Man, I didn't look back. Man, I couldn't move quick enough to get off the property.
That makes sense.
So what was the first thing that you did when you got back into the community? What was the first thing you did? Can you remember?
Pick myself up and try to be as independent as I can be.
So you know what my first thing was, Justin?
Yeah, I
went and got a greasy hamburger because the food in there sucked. I got a greasy hamburger, really greasy, a double to be exact, with French fries and a strawberry milkshake. Before I even went home, I got the greasy hamburger.
That's good.
So you got back. How long ago did you get into your? You live on your own right now, or are you living with your parents now?
I live with my parents.
Okay, and so, do you have freedom of choice there?
Yes.
That's what it's all about. You know, I don't want asparagus, and they don't force it down you. Yeah, absolutely. So what do you like best about being in the community? And why is that important?
I could be independent, I could be whoever I'm going to be, I could have a job, I can, there's a lot of things.
Yep.
I can have a girlfriend like I do have, I can go to church, I can have freedom, but not to break the laws, mind you.
Right, nice.
No.
So, would you ever want to live in an institution?
No.
Okay. So, what are your favorite...
That's not happening.
What about if I gave you $1 million? Would you do it?
Nope. I'll say
okay.
Nope.
Okay. So, yeah. So, freedom's more valuable than money is what Justin's saying. So, I agree with that. So what are your favorite things? What are your hobbies, Justin? What do you like to do now that you're in the community besides date all the girls? Now you got a girlfriend, so you can't date them all. You got to date just the one. But what are your favorite hobbies to do? What are your favorite things to do?
Well, I like to read. I like to play video games. I'm playing a phone game right now, and I like to write on different things, and I like to be so happy for people first of Boston. And
yes, and you're running for vice president. Yeah, the board, but the People First board of directors, you're running for the organization vice president, aren't you?
Yes, I am vice president.
Well, so, yeah, you couldn't do that in an institution, could you?
No. It's any money.
So let's see. What would you tell someone who's currently living in an institution if you could? I know they don't really allow us to talk to people, but if you could talk to somebody, what would be your words of wisdom for them?
Well, I would tell them, hey, don't, oh dear. I would tell them that, you know, there's a better life than living in this institution.
Okay.
And
so we got a caller here. We got a hand came out and slapped me. So let's see who this is. So it's area code 727. What say you?
Hello. How's it going, guys?
I bet you this is Michael from Florida, I'm guessing. How are you,
That's
Michael?
That's it. Very good. Working very hard to try to get these mats up for disabled people on the beach. But I'm very good. How are you?
I'm doing good. If I was any better, I'd be twins.
I just woke up and listened to the end of the Rays game, and it looks like we lost it.
Oh, but look at your Buccaneers. They're doing pretty good, 4-1.
Yeah, we're doing okay. Let's hope, huh? And
yeah.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, I get so mad when they trade a quarterback that's done good for a franchise, and they treat them like cattle, and they pawn them off. Then they try to get them back. I have to say, I got to give Tom Brady credit. He said, "Hell no."
Yeah, he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, I hope he wins the Super Bowl. That'll teach him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, really. How many rings does he need? The next one.
Well,
right?
I hope for you guys
so
you get them.
How's the radio station doing?
It's doing good. I took a little sabbatical. I was going through some stuff. You know, COVID kind of causes a little bit of depression and so forth, and so I took a little time off.
Yeah.
But I'm back in the saddle, so you'll see me on Mondays again.
That's great.
So have you written any new books since I last talked to you?
No. What I'm doing now is concentrating on these Moby mats. They're mats that go from the end of the cement all the way out into the beach, so people with chairs, or you know, people, kids with electric chairs that have no way of getting out on the beach can now ride on the beach and sit there, you know.
Beautiful. And you got beautiful beaches down there, so that's something you don't want to miss if you live there.
Yeah, I live in Pinellas County. We got some pretty nice beaches down here.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know Michael, he's got a series of books, Silent Cries, and about living with a brain injury, another disability where people are abused and put into rehabilitation centers and just overall not help. They just, when you're out of money, they kick you out.
So how's this other guy doing? You sounded great on the radio, guy.
Listen, he says you sound great on the radio.
Thanks.
So, yeah, this is his first time on. You've been on a couple hundred times, haven't you, Michael? How many times have you been on now? Do you keep count still?
I keep track. I keep track a little over. Well, I've been doing this since 2013. When Tim Justice came on, I came on. So I've been here a while, and I have over 700 times that I've called this number.
Wow!
And it's great, you know, if you're awake at this time, which is almost 11 o'clock down here. It's great to talk to you guys, see what's happening, listening to what you say. You know, Kim has some great a host that she gets in, you know?
Yeah, the only greatness I bring is me, but that's going to have to do.
That's all right. You do, but you give people an opportunity to talk. That's what they need. They need communication, you know?
Absolutely. And I just brought on Kim Justice. Say hi to Michael, Kim.
Michael.
Well, Kim, look who's here.
Yeah, I heard a rumor you were going to be there. What is really cool about the Mobys is you started with one. I mean, so it was a great idea. You saw that through, got it done, but then met with the city council. Not easy to get funding for these kinds of things, but he was successful. All of these new Moby mats that he's putting down, he went and represented the idea, advocated for us, and I can't imagine, you know, I'm fortunate to be able to walk down the beach to the ocean, but I can't imagine vacationing or living somewhere and being that close to the ocean and never getting to feel the spray of the water or be able to get close up, and the opportunity that he's afforded so many people and really put thought into it and fought hard for it and convinced the government of it is really impressive.
I'm not through yet. I'm still going. This is,
I know,
because 2020 was a down year. So
yeah.
2021 is the first time I get to get out among the count the municipalities along the beach to talk to these people, because all of a sudden I got a phone call, Kim, the other day from this foundation that totally wants to back me, that'll pay for all these mats. And I was shocked. Yeah.
Go, Michael, go!
You see, believe it or not, my injury happened in 1970, and it was very severe. But I learned that you don't let anything stop you. Yes, I have a big problem with the brain injury, and I have a lot of problems, but I still keep paddling forward, keep pushing forward. I know it's hard sometimes, but we have to, just as Kim does, we have to keep piling forward. And things will work out. Things will work out your way. You'll be surprised if you keep a good attitude and you keep piling forward.
So, Michael, tell Justin what beach these are on, because Justin uses a wheelchair to get around the community. And
him. Justin, they're not, they're, like I said, it's in the, it's stage number 3, because in order to lay a mat on the Gulf of Mexico, I had to go through all these agencies. So we're on stage 3, and I will call back, what's tonight, Monday?
Yep.
To next Monday, right?
2 Mondays from now. Next Monday is
another host.
Yeah, I'm doing. Yeah, I do. I do the 2nd and 4th, and you know, I've been doing.
Okay.
But
well,
it's Florida, Justin.
And let them know where we
vacation.
Got the map actually laid.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for doing that
in
for
Florida. Yes.
I do it for
Michael.
Myself too. I do it for.
Yep.
Do you know when I went out to take a picture, these people don't realize, these people that have no problem don't realize, because I walked to the end of the mat and I had to sit down because all these people were standing around and my back was killing me because of my injury. And they don't realize. So I just sat down. I didn't care. I just sat down and waited. No one's going to tell me any, you know. I mean, I had to. And because I was all the way out on the beach without any chairs, without anything. And so I just sat down on the mat and waited for them to get ready before I got up.
Yeah, and for the audience who's listening, so I'm a Sicilian. You know, my great uncle was Al Capone. They smuggled booze from Canada here. And Michael's scarier than any of my family. You would move for this guy, I'm telling you.
That's true. He's a big boy.
You know, the brain injury didn't give me the cutest of faces. But, you know,
oh, yeah, I know you just got that Italian face. Like, you know, you mess with me, I'm going to put cement shoes on you, dude.
Yeah.
I just got that kind of face that I look at you and it says, you know, I don't have to say a thing, you know.
Yeah, sometimes Less is more. Less is best.
Kim likes that. I've been with Kim for 8 years now. Kim, I have over 700 times. Do you believe it?
I do believe it, and you've been a real gift in my life.
Yep.
Guess
yeah,
what
you've
episode
been a gift
we're on
mine.
Now, Michael?
What?
This is episode 3,975.
903? Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah. We're now 24 episodes away from 4,000 episodes.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, we've done a couple
that.
Of shows.
Yeah.
But I love them all. When you allow me to talk, when you allow me to come on and say hello to the world, let them know that this is a terrible injury and all, but don't give up. Never give up. Never give up.
Absolutely.
If you live through something like this, you're blessed by God. And take it and realize that you're a survivor, right? You're
Absolutely.
Not a statistic, you're a survivor, okay?
Right.
Well, that's all. Thank you. All right, guy, I'll call back when I got the maps late.
You can call
okay.
back
okay.
Wednesday, too, Michael. I'm taking caller night Wednesday, so if you like.
Okay, thank you, Kim. I'll try to stay awake. I'll try to stay awake Wednesday, okay?
So will I.
Yep.
Thank you, sweetie.
Well, I hope so, Kim. I hope you do try to stay awake.
Yeah. Yeah, Kim. You got the remember, all that she's got to do is say hello and let the speaker speak. She gets
exactly.
some great speakers.
You caught me.
Just say hello and let the speaker speak, Al.
But
let me know, okay, guys? You
All right,
the
Michael,
rest
have
of the
a good
show.
Night. Thank you.
Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Michael.
All right, well, it's hard to believe, folks. We're already, we got an hour under our belt, so we're going to take another quick break, and let's see if Kim Justice has heard this song. Whoops. And this is my experience, how I felt when with my rehab of 9 months, and this is exactly how I felt.
it, Mommy. You heard what the doctor said.
I'm fine. I just got my bell rung. It's not like I blacked out.
You've had headaches, dizzy spells, and you're just not yourself. That's not feeling fine.
Come on. I can't miss the game.
It's still serious, even if you didn't black out. It's better to miss one game than the whole season.
All concussions are serious. Know the warning signs and never let your child return to play before a healthcare professional says it's okay. A message from CDC.
Well, folks, tonight we're here with Justin Maxwell, self-advocate, and he's sharing his personal journey. He's part of the Washington State, the Washington Shut Them Down Coalition, hashtag Shut Them Down. So what does it feel like to be part of the coalition, Justin?
Well, the reason why I joined and I like being part of the coalition is to help those to understand that there's a way into the community and we can.
Yep, and starting, I agree. And then, go ahead, Jess, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
It's fine.
Can I cut him off?
Why, what are you going to say, Kim? You got a question for him?
I do. Justin, it's nice to meet you. When I didn't get a chance to say because Michael was on and we knew each other, and you and I haven't met before, but did it help you? Does it help you to find a sense of purpose and empowerment to not only have shifted from living institutionally to having your freedom coming out on your own and then actually working in an area that helps you be able to do the same for others?
Well, yeah. I don't do it for me, I do it for everybody. But yeah, my experience and every single experience is different.
Right.
And I believe the institutions are just places that this is not a place to put someone to have them sit or do some meditation subjects. It's wrong. Completely wrong. That's how I feel.
Well, I agree. We call that warehousing. People, but kind of like what Michael was talking about, by helping other people, it makes him feel good to help other people. And I found that too when Craig gave me the opportunity to do radio, that it gave me a sense of purpose to be able to help other people because those people weren't around. When I got my brain injury, it was before the internet, and there weren't any support groups, and doctors didn't know a lot about it. And, Craig, I'm glad when you play the commercial about the CDC and concussion, but, you know, I couldn't help but say, another government agency we can trust, right? yeah, you know, the... you know, brain injuries are cumulative, so I haven't met a lot of doctors who are able to necessarily pinpoint exactly when it's safe to go back. So, you know, when the CDC says to make sure you don't go back till you see a professionals, coaches, team doctors, and so forth, they're often driven by motives that aren't real good motives, and that's kind of what you're talking about with the institutions as well. Out of sight, out of mind, you know, when you were talking about Iowa, I'm in Nebraska, so I'm familiar with some of those institutions, and it started out where, you know, people with disabilities or anyone, you know, if it was a mental issue, and someone acted different, anything that wasn't anybody, that wasn't status quo or that made the public feel uncomfortable they put out of sight, out of mind in these institutions. And I just wanted to mention, in case people didn't know, when you were talking about Willowbrook earlier, Craig's the one that told me the story in the first place. And then they've made two movies, so if you're interested in the story, a little more backstory to this interview tonight and about that story, the first movie was the expose of Willowbrook State School, and then not long ago they came out with the second one, and this one you can get on Amazon or with my cable company. I just talk into the Siri thing and say Unforgotten, and it's the 25-year after look at Willowbrook, and that one is very interesting because Geraldo's on that, and there's a man with him with an interview at the beginning of this Unforgotten movie, who was a child at Willowbrook during when Geraldo did that story, that clip that you played. This man lived there and was a child at that time. He was one of those kids you heard in the background. And so Unforgotten is a good movie, not a good movie, but a good depiction of the atrocities in these out of sight, out of mind warehousing institutions. And I'm really appalled every time I hear that Kennedy went in there a decade before. I mean, think of where you were 10 years ago and how long 10 years is. And Kennedy went in and said the same things Geraldo did. It was appalling. There was no other way to look at what he saw. And he was a politician. His brother was the president, for Christ's sake, and he didn't change it. You know, those comments that he made, it's interesting in retrospect to hear those comments and all the power that family had, but they also had a sister who was disabled and in an institution. And so
Right. They
had the power to be able to change it a decade before Geraldo happened to change it by putting the spotlight on the news piece. They let it go. He made the comments but didn't do anything about it.
Well,
and that's kind of what you're doing, Justin. I'm sorry, Craig, and then I'll shut up. What you guys are doing, and Justin, is you're doing something about it. You're not just talking about it. And that's important. It was swell that Kennedy went and that he made the comments, and then it was back in the closet for a decade. That's the difference between talking about it and taking action. And that's kind of what I was directing at you, Justin, about your advocacy work, is doing something and taking the action is what makes the difference, not just talking about it.
I agree.
In all fairness to Kennedy, he was assassinated 42 days later.
Well, he should have moved a little quicker.
Yeah, no, it is a shame. It is definitely a shame. And so I got a couple questions for you, Kim. Question number one, how many dogs do you have?
Three.
Would you let any of these caregivers and state institutions watch your dog for the day?
No.
But yet we let them handle human beings. I wouldn't let them even pet my dog, let alone watch them.
I spent some time like you did So I got my story like you did. And you know what's interesting? Because as you were talking, I don't remember leaving. I don't remember leaving. What I remember is going and the doors locking behind me when I walked in. That's what I remember, the sound of the doors closing and knowing they were locked and that I couldn't leave.
Question
I don't remember.
Two.
Yep.
Have you heard that song before?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's not
it's
one
really
that I play
good.
Too often about my rubber room because that's what it was.
Mine too. It's a good song, but no, I don't think I've listened to everything on all three of the albums at least a couple of times and put them on in the background, but you know, I get stuck on my favorites. There's so many good ones, but no, I didn't remember that when you played it, but I'll look it up again.
Yeah, you won't find it. You won't find it. And I was trying to find one, I'll Be Waiting, and I couldn't find my original. I'll have to save that for another night for you. I don't think you've heard that one either. It was my first song from when I went from, because we were the Pastor Craig Band, and we went to, oh my God, how quickly. Then I had my second band, Insane from Pain.
Insane with Pain.
And we had a couple albums there, and now we are VR Insane, and we just finished our 10th album. And you can buy them, please buy them, all, folks. It's VRinsane.com, and please buy as many as you would like. You can buy the songs individually or buy the album. You buy it by the album. It's much cheaper because all the albums have at least 10 songs. Some have more, and you save a bundle that way, less than $1 a song. And it supports our radio network. It supports my puppy dog's dog food or whatever, you know. It's been a tough time for a lot of folks in COVID. I've played 3 concerts in 19 months, and so that has been poverty-stricken. And I want to thank people first because I've kind of worked into full-time and more, kind of compensate for things. And fact number one for you, Kim, Geraldo, I'm missing his name, Fernando Geraldo, I can't remember his name. He was the third president of People First, the guy that was in Willowbrook, and he had CP and absolutely nothing wrong with him, and he spent 14 years in there.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I know him well.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. And he's still active to this day. Still active to this day in the advocacy movement.
Well, yeah, it wasn't that long ago that Geraldo had his anniversary show, and Willowbrook is what launched Geraldo's career. None of you ever would have heard of Geraldo Rivera, but for Willowbrook being what really launched his career. But that's so interesting that you know that man. I was so blown away by watching that. I mean, he was a child when Geraldo walked in, and then here he was sitting there. It was just like a year ago. It's been during the pandemic, I think, that Geraldo had his like 50 year of being Geraldo, whatever, commemorative show, let's put it like that. And so it kind of spanned his career, but it started with him, and then Unforgotten, the movie is that gentleman you're talking about. Wow, that's really something.
So I know this probably might not be your folks' favorite song, but this is one of the greatest disability advocates in history, Judy Heumann, singing her little heart out.
To me. You don't need no special education, just get on board. You don't need no fancy certification, just You don't bore. You don't gotta have a perfect pedigree or be a member of high society. All you've gotta do is get on board. Get on board this train to freedom. Get on board. Get on board this train to freedom. Get on board. Now you can walk on to this train to freedom. Get on board. And you can roll on to this train to freedom. Get on board. And you can crawl onto this train to freedom. All you gotta do is grab hold and get aboard. Cause together we are riding to freedom. We are riding this train to freedom. The self-advocacy train to freedom. Grab hold and get aboard. It doesn't matter if your skin is brown or white. If you roll through life or you walk upright, you can get on board this train to freedom. Get on board this train to freedom. Get on board. Get on board this train to freedom. Get on board. It doesn't matter if you are straight or gay, a woman or man with unequal pay. All you've got to do is grab hold, get aboard. Because we are riding together to freedom. We're going to ride this train to freedom. The disability ride the train to freedom. Grab hold, get on board. Because together we are going to freedom. Together we are riding to freedom. We are riding this train to freedom. Grab hold now and get on board.
So people with disabilities all over the country are starting to fight again. You know, it's been that was done in the 70s. And so we've had a stagnant, but I'm really excited to be part of the Shut Them Down Coalition, because what are we going to do, Justin?
Shut them down.
We're going to shut them bastards down. And we're not going to stop till all of our folks are free. Because freedom is where it's at. We are the people, and they're leaving half of it. When you're talking 50 million people with disabilities, they're leaving a big part of the population out, and we're not taking it anymore. We're mad as hell, and we're not taking it anymore.
Nope. No more please.
Yes, indeed.
Also, the great leveler that, you know, in her song, when you hear it, you hear all of the things that have been going on in the last year, whether it has to do with gender politics or racial issues or whatever, but disability is the great leveler. That's something that hits anyone, everyone.
And it does. Anyone and everyone. No, it's not gender specific, it's not ethnic specific, it's not sexual preference specific, it's nothing specific. It can happen to anyone at any time, anywhere.
That's true.
And it does. And to everyone listening, if you live past 70, you're going to end up having a disability too. You know, it may not be a developmental or a cognitive or neurological, but you will too feel the discrimination that happens to people with disabilities, because they want to put you in a nursing home, they want to put you here, they want to put you there, and they never think, how can we keep people independent for as long as possible or forever? You know, I'd rather die independent than die not independent. You know, I'll never go into a nursing home or an institution just because of my experiences. I will die at home alone before that ever happens. Well, hopefully my kids will take care of me. That's my hope. I treated them pretty good. I fed them for 20 years, so hopefully they treat me good. So, Justin, what are your plans for the future?
I have no idea.
Yeah. So, are you going to become a rich billionaire? And
no. I'm going to keep thinking about advocating and defending the rights of people with disabilities and people with there are differences because I believe in freedom. And for everyone has the right to do to see fit in their lifetime.
Absolutely. But you wouldn't know it by how society treats us.
Yeah.
And that is something that we have to change, you know, that people think, you know, when I tell somebody I have a brain injury, I can see it in their face how they're marginalizing me, you know, almost immediately, you know, how they're, you know, they start treating me a little differently. You know, and it's wrong. You know, when we think of somebody with brown hair, we don't marginalize them because they have brown hair, and disabilities more common than brown hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
So go figure.
Well,
you know, when you think about it, when you put it into perspective, you know, and if you think about like Einstein, and for the life of me, I can't remember the world's smartest man. He just died like last year. His name eludes me. He wrote. He was a physicist, I can't think of his name. I'm drawing a blank, but he's considered the smartest man that ever lived. But if you were to look at him, you wouldn't know that. And thank God he had people in his life to support him so he could share that knowledge. Einstein, he couldn't talk till 7 or 8 years old. He never did learn to tie his shoes. He couldn't make up his mind on his change of clothes. But the guy's theories are still relevant to this day. I mean, and as science grows, they prove his theories right. You know, Ben Franklin, you know, who was considered, they called him the kook of politicians in his time. He invented, and you got to think, imagine this. Here's a guy, a stocky guy, running through the street with a metal wire attached to a kite. Everyone knew what was going to happen. Everyone, including him. You know, he wasn't dumb. He was a very smart man. Do you know what that invention created, Kim? Justin? Take a guess if you know what it is, what he invented through that, flying his kite with a metal wire.
What, electricity?
Nope. Well, that was an afterthought, but he invented the lightning rod. Thousands of homes every year were getting smacked by lightning, so he put this rod up with a wire down into the ground and ran the electricity to the ground. He invented the lightning rod thing, saved hundreds of thousands of lives in the time period, probably millions over the big picture. He also invented the central heating, the Franklin Stove Company, which is still around today. He invented how people were going to be putting on a heater, and you've got Benjamin Franklin to thank for that. So, you know, and Thomas Jefferson, you know, even though his was a physical disability from the Civil War, he still holds the patents to over 200 farming inventions, not because he needed to invent them, because, you know, for other people, he needed to invent them for himself because he was going broke because he couldn't farm like he used to farm. But then he became one of the richest farmers of his time. And so people with disabilities are forced to think outside of the box, and we will invent things that make all communities better, you know, not just for people with disabilities, but for everybody.
Stephen Hawking.
That's true.
Thank you. Stephen Hawking, yes, Stephen Hawking. You know, how many people have been to the grocery store in the last year? You know, with COVID, that's probably a valid question to ask. You know, but when people go to the grocery stores, they have a couple doors. They got these side doors, right, that you pull open. And they also got these fancy little doors that when you step close to them, they open up. Invented by a person with a disability. How many people use the sliding doors and how many people pull the doors open? Think about that for a minute. What about the accessible parking, which we fought for? Some states still call it disability parking, but parking for people who have mobility problems so they can park right close to the front door so they can shop. I mean, these were all things fought for by people with disabilities. And I'm not being mean, but there's a lot of obese people out there, you know. There's a lot of people with a whole bunch of different health things that need those to go shopping. They would not be able to go shopping. And so escalators, elevators,
Curb cuts.
Curb cuts, yeah. It's just on and on and on. You know, buildings, public buildings so that there's ramps and everybody can access. I'm telling you, when you're in a walker and you're about 80 years old, yeah, you know, a step just ain't in the cards anymore. So people with disabilities in the ADA and Section 504, which is fought for in the 70s, all of these things made life better for all of society. And all of these are done by people with disabilities. So, yes, you can thank us now. Let us be free. Let us live in the community. And stop trying to hide us away. How many inventions has society missed because they have warehoused us and tortured us for centuries now?
Yeah,
you know, we probably had many
sure.
Einsteins.
And you're right
so,
about it helping people. You know, I've been walking around with this broken foot, and those of us who can walk take it for granted a lot of the time. And I broke my foot in three places, so for a couple of weeks I've been doing crutches and a boot and steps. I've been noticing, you know, I can't do steps right now or uneven ground. And the reason I kept bringing up curb cuts is because they make a huge difference. So it's not even when you say it benefits, you know, created by people with disabilities, but a lot of people that would be unintended recipients of that being very helpful. There's a lot of them out there. It might be a temporary condition in my case, I hope. But still, thank God for those doors, you know, and those elevators with the crutches. I couldn't open the doors. And with those buttons that you hit to open the door automatically, I was lifting my crutch and poking the button to get doors to open for me. And, man, are those things I was reappreciative.
Absolutely.
Having the opportunity to need that again, need some of that help.
Okay. Absolutely. So, Justin,
yes.
Are you going to the convention? It was the 44th annual convention, People First Convention. Are you going this year, or are you going to be virtual?
I'm going.
All right. So I've talked to Justin. I see Justin once or twice a week, but I've never met him in person that I can remember. So I'll get to meet you. Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
You too.
When's the convention?
It is the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th of this month. And
really?
It moves around.
And we're having it live?
Yep, we're having it. Yep, we're having it live. It moves around a different city. Well, last year it moved around to Zoom. But, yeah, this is, yeah, we're sold out. We have a whole where we are sold out. We're trying to con more room. There's a couple rooms, but we're trying to con some rooms out. But, yeah, we're capacity. So it's going to be great. And I'm bringing Gracie with me, which is my little doggy. And that ought to be fun.
Look out in the hallways.
Oh, she just loves people. She don't bite anyone or anything. But
no.
She'll lick you to
no.
death. She'll want to lick
energy.
Everybody. Lots
puppy
of
puppy energy. Mm-hmm.
So,
interesting.
All right.
Well,
it's hard to believe.
Interested.
So we are taking our last break. I can't believe it. We only got 20-some minutes, so we'll play a short song, and I'm going to see if Kim has heard this song as we take our break, and we'll come back with the famous Mr. Justin Maxwell.
Been waiting so long for you.
Have you heard that song?
No, but I really like that.
Yeah, that was when I was still the Pastor Craig band. That was the last Christian song I put together, and then I went secular.
Of course I like those, because Savior's one of my favorites. I can kind of tell the difference between the, you're really diverse. I mean, not only have a gift for the, you know, the lyrics and the music, being able to write music, but so diverse. You know, from your rock opera, the things from Pastor Craig days, which I have so many favorites of. And then you surprise me with things like Ghost and So Hard and different songs like that. It's really amazing the breadth of your gift. But I really like that song, and I don't think I ever had heard that before.
Yeah, I've been pulling some of my oldies up just to get a smile on your face.
Sweet. I really like
yeah.
that. I wish you'd go back to contemporary Christian music sometime.
Yeah, good luck with that. I have a that was a whole, all different players. None of the people that are in my band were even a thought back then. Yeah, they would all. You'd find me assassinated. Yeah, they think I'm too soft.
I think you should just do it yourself with the piano.
Maybe. Well, yeah, you'd be happy to know I am working on a song on my own right now, just because.
Oh, good.
But I'm struggling with it because it, you know, it takes time, and I am not as OCD as I used to be with things. So.
That's okay, though. It's part of the learning curve, growing curve that you've had. I mean, I remember I came in at the beginning when you were playing the early music, and then the problem came up that took away that band. And you were never going to play music again, and you were full of contempt and anger about it, and you were never going to do music again. And a couple of years went by, and everybody was bugging you all the time, and I quit bugging you relatively immediately, because less than some of the others were, but I also knew that there would be a time that it would come back on its own when you were ready, that just because you were in a place right then, that wasn't going to happen. And then the R&Sane came along. So even if this takes a little longer to germinate, I really think it's meant to be.
Well, I don't know about that. I have now caused permanent damage to my earlobes. You know, it's called acoustic... acoustic trauma, and I am hurting my ears left and right. I have issues. As a matter of fact, I see the doctor tomorrow because I'm having some issues hearing, and so I'm probably going deaf and blind. How wonderful is that?
Well, that's one reason why part of what did that was the louder music, you know, and the equipment.
And of course, spending
that,
a year cutting 47 songs with headphones didn't help.
Right. That was a little over. So, I mean, I'm just saying, you on your own doing piano and singing, it's not going to be the volume that caused that injury that you have. And the music would be softer, gentler.
So, Justin, do you ever play around with music?
I listen to it.
Okay.
What kind do
you
like?
What kind of music?
And
country, huh?
Yeah. And
rock and roll.
Nice.
So you,
and so you say you like
in your music.
You say you like to write. What do you like to write? What kind of things do you write about?
Advocacy and just that the, you know, like pitching.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sometimes
yeah, so.
I write myth.
So maybe we could invent a science, because I have like these weird dreams, and I think my next niche in life would be to do some movie scripts, reality horror, you know, because think about it, what great horror movies could we make with the reality how people with disabilities are treated and maybe wise up society that way?
Yeah, I was going to say, you've lived it.
You know, you got the zombie thing. Wouldn't that be fun for us to write movie scripts?
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of, I got a couple things in mind, you know, a couple weird things. They would all be shorts. They would be like Tales from the Dark Side. Remember, they used to have like two or three on each episode? It'd be stuff like that. You know, none of my things are like full-length features, but I certainly got a couple hundred ideas for some shorties.
Aliens and zombies, your favorite.
Right, and I have a weird imagination. So I dream weird dreams, and I don't know why. And as a matter of fact, there's a couple of new zombie series out now, and I haven't watched them because I got tired of fighting zombies in my sleep. I wake up in a sweat, and they would jump up out of bed because the zombies are chasing you. But I do like my zombie movies. I've seen most of them, but they got one that's called something Dark Z, and there's a couple episodes on Netflix, and almost started to watch it, but I know once I get going, I won't be able to stop, and I'd be fighting zombies for the next month. So, Justin, you got any last comments for our audience that you'd like to share?
What do you want to know?
Anything you want to share? You got words of advice for people with a disability out there who feel like there's no hope? What advice do you have to them?
Well, I'll tell you what. There is hope. Always hope. You just got to look at it and say, you know what? There's somebody out there working for me to get my rights in check, get laws passed, stabilized so that I can have freedom and be free in my life and walk in my path and everything. It's for future generations, too.
I agree. Absolutely agree. And we're going to shut them down, guys. We are going to shut them down. I have a good feeling. This year in November, we met with King 5, which is a big news station in Seattle, and they're going to do an expose, and they're going to interview folks that have been in institutions, and it's going to be called Madness, Shut Them Down. And King 5 has been a strong supporter. And so that will be in November, which will be right before the first issue of the Shut 'Em Down newsletter, which is December 6th will be the first one, and we'll come out with one every week during legislative session, and we're going to send it to all the legislators, all the senators, and we're going to create a focus, and we have a great group of people. We got the leaders from Allies in Advocacy, Self-Advocates in Leadership, the DDC, People First. We got leaders from all the organizations involved, and we're building momentum. And if we have to, folks, we're going to tie it. If you're listening, legislators, we have purchased handcuffs, and when you see us handcuffed to your bumper, that means you're not listening. Hear what we have to say. Shut them down.
Yes, indeed. It will be history in the making.
It is.
Shut
and it's a,
them down.
Absolutely. Awesome. And I am going to write a little grift before the November till we do the shooting, and I'm going to see if they want to, and I, because, you know, what we want to do, shut them down, I don't know, I'm going to write something, some kind of tune to that, and so, and we're all, it's going to be a self-advocate singing it.
Yeah.
The shut them down song.
Cool.
Yeah, I've been playing with that in the head. I'm thinking more of a tribal thing.
That would be a good idea.
That is a good idea.
And, put our war paint on, bring our handcuffs to the Capitol, and chain ourselves to the legislators. They got to listen.
Oh,
man.
God. More domestic terrorists, for God's sake. Don't, whatever you do, don't wear your Viking hat when you go.
Yeah, and I'll keep my feet off of Pelosi's desk. So the last song that I wrote or was in the studio, and I don't know, you've probably heard this one, but I was asked to write my life story in a song. And, you know, my life story has been kind of poopy. I had crappy parents. I had a crappy wife. But I had wonderful kids. But, and so this may, you know, depending on things, be the last song I record. And this is kind of a country song. So I think Justin may approve. And my band does not like country. They are hard rock, alternative, new wave. And so they had a hard time with this. So they didn't want to back up vocals. I'm sure Kim's heard this, but this is Craig Cecilia's ZR Insane's theme song to his life. So enjoy.
getting old. Something inside myself won't be here anymore. Try to forgive myself for things I've never done. No one believes you when you're not born in the sun. No one believes you when you're not born in the sun.
So that's my life story.
Awesome.
Have you heard that one?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's a really good song.
So, and then I did one in there, another solo, there, which most to me feel a little bit, it's about my ego. I don't have that one uploaded, but that's another day. But, so, Justin, I want to thank you very much for being a guest tonight, and you can read this interview on the Shut 'Em Down magazine. It is going to be, let me see, where is it? So, I think, I want to say issue 4. Are you on issue 4? Do you remember, Justin?
Yeah, a minute.
Let me see. I'm looking for my little sheet. Yeah, we're going to have 9 issues. And Michael Raymond is issue 1. And on my next show, I will have, Robert Wardell. He'll be on, and he'll be talking about his story. And People First helped get him out of the institution, and along with so many people that we've done. And so you will see him, and he will also be on the expose that's going to be on, I can't remember which, I think it's either ABC or NBC or CBS, one of them alphabet channels, but they've been great supporters and wrote great articles, and they think it's a crime too that people are still living in institutions, and it's great to have a media outlet, and this is just the state level, it's not the federal level, but they definitely believe in our cause, and so so it's going to be an exciting year, and then not to mention we've you've been involved in North Star this year, right, Justin? This will be my last month of the chair of the civil rights group, and they are going to be passing a omnibus bill, and it's covering all kinds of things legislatively, imagine this, you have a law, how about we enforce the damn thing, that, you know, rather than make new laws that we're not going to enforce. So this is with disability rights organizations, the Developmental Disability Council, it's Ombuds program, so there's a lot of people involved and a lot of organizations, and we put thousands and thousands of hours and hundreds of participants involved in this, and so we're going to see what we can pass this year. We got sponsors, co-sponsors, and the companion bill. So it's exciting things. I think we have a lot of potential to change government laws, and that's what I've been doing during COVID. Put out an album and involved in a whole bunch of stuff. So, and along with my friends Justin and Eric and Sean and Michael, and it's just been a crazy year, and if it wasn't for COVID, I would have never had all these great opportunities to be involved, and I thank you guys for letting me be part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Nice to meet you, Justin. Thanks for being on the
show tonight.
Nice to
meet you.
Thanks.
Welcome.
All right. So, Justin, I'm going to play a song, and then we're going to be over. I always close with a song, and I'm sure Kim's heard this one. This is from Insane from Pain. One of the few songs that I still can play without threat of institutionalization, but not a good institutionalization thing, but here we go. Should have taken me home, and I really believe this with all my heart during the time. This is Brain Injury Radio, and we're on 7 nights a week, and we always got something to say. And if you're feeling alone, feeling isolated, come listen every night. If you don't like this show, tomorrow's a different show, next night's a different show, I guarantee you'll find something you like. So God bless, and
thereby cure and prevention of mental retardation. Cure and prevention. Cure and prevention. Cure.
Even worse, and there are things I've learned but cannot.